We welcome in Lamar Jackson before Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
And honestly, the guy I want to compare him to is kind of LeBron James in many ways when he entered the league. Michael Vick joining us on the line. Mike, we really appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How y'all doing?
Man, we doing all right, Vic.
I know you good, Mom.
There you go, getting your petty on this morning. How come every one of my friends that come on the show come with an ounce of petty, Vic? You kept the streak going.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I ain't even know nothing about it. You know, I just had to throw that out there.
See, there we go. Been your locker mate for a whole year, man. I guess we found out a lot about each other, man.
Yes, sir.
Dope, man. Well, you reached out to me one day, and I was just like, you know what, man? It'll be good. We had a conversation. I was like, it'd be good to have you on the show, man, at some point in time, because you as a person, man, I think people just enjoy being around. From what I've always seen, every person you come into, man, is the eyes get bright when they see you. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. But of course, this day and age, man, the play of the quarterback is a whole lot different from when even you came in 2004. Like when you came in, it was just different. Like you changed the game, the way people looked at the quarterback position, how people looked at the black quarterback. Also, in a sense, is just saying, man, this guy is special. And you weren't just a foot special guy. Like you could air it out. I got to ask a question in a sense of, do you think you were about maybe 10 or 12 years too early for the NFL at the time?
Yeah, most definitely in terms of success.
Yeah.
And how quick it could come. Even though I made the playoffs in my second year in 2002, I came in 2001, made the playoffs in 2002, but it wasn't easy. You know, I wasn't in the spread system. You know, five wides.
Yeah.
We jumped in four wides a little bit, but we had Warwick Dunn, TJ Duckett, so we was more rant oriented. I could run it a little bit, but Dan Reeves did open it up. He opened it up for us. But it just wasn't like what you see from Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, you know, even Patrick what Russell Wilson is running right now. You know, the game that changed a lot, but we had to go through that phase, though, you know. You know, that's what it took to change and revolutionize the position, man. And, you know, when I look at it now, I'm like, I did something for the greater good of the game, and now the game can move forward for the next 100 years with quarterbacks of all types. So it was a pretty cool experience, but definitely 10 years too early.
Mike, when you go back, I mean, I was watching you at Virginia Tech, and my dad was a diehard Virginia Cavalier fan, and I grew up in the state of Virginia, and so I paid close attention to what you did in college. Then you get into the NFL, and it's just like there's the league, and then there's this dude named Michael Vick that wears 7 in Atlanta, and then you broke Madden 04, literally.
Yes.
Like, that game was almost ruined by you. How was it to be that famous? The reason why I led this off by saying you remind me of LeBron is because that's the athlete I think about that was like famous before any kind of real success even came his way, because there was nobody else like him in the game, and there was nobody like you. So how was it like just going through your day-to-day existence being as famous as you actually were at that point in time?
I think being in Atlanta just magnified it like times 100. And you know, just that city alone, man, the people, you know, they gravitate to success. And especially when it came to football, you know, it was a lot of up and down years. And, you know, I was drafted to change the face of the franchise for Atlanta. And, you know, that's all I had my sights on. That's all I wanted to do, was just change the way, you know, people view football in Atlanta again. You know, just trying to bring back that Deion Sanders excitement. You know, I can't name it to anybody else because I don't know nobody else who played for Atlanta who might have made it even somewhat near exciting. So, you know, I know I had a lot of pressure on my shoulders. And, you know, I was just like, look, man, I know how to play the game. You know, I got a coach who drafted me who understand what, you know, the game is all about. He coached John Elway for years and made it to about 4 or 5 Super Bowls, never won one, but he was always there. So I just kind of followed his lead, man, and everything that he presented to me, I understood it. You know, it was a little complex at the time, you know, in terms of, you know, the offense and the verbiage. But I just studied hard because I knew I wanted to be the best. I knew I wanted to be one of the tops in the league. And, you know, obviously, you know, just not wanting to be labeled a bust, man, was all I wanted. The excitement that I created came around a lot of high-pressure situations that I was just able to overcome. But through the help of my teammates and through a lot of know, practice, preparation, and then the city just, they embraced me, man. Once they embraced me, it was over. I had to live up to that expectation every week, every year, and, you know, I was able to do it. So that fame came with a price, and but I lived up to it.
Yeah, and, you know, you speak on a couple things right there, Mike, with, you know, you're saying one is the coach that you know, got to have you in the right system. That's one of the things that I had a former college teammate of mine, one of my best friends, Robert Harris, say the same thing, like the coach has got to know what position to put you in. Mm-hmm. And just in the sense of just watching, one, these young guys in the league right now, but also here in Nashville, man, with Tannehill. You know, if you look back 3 years ago, this guy was about to get washed out. And, you know, like I know, and just anybody who's a fan of the game, man, that's a tough stigma to get over. Is like, okay, being in the right position and with the right coach. And I'm sure when you were with Andy, you know, it was just something that he helped you go even further. And speak on what it means to have the right coach. And, I mean, like you said, your biggest thing, you did not want to be a bust.
Yeah. To reference your point, Mo, I used to say on our kickoff show on Fox all the time when I first started that, I like Ryan Tannehill. It's something about him that I like. I like his competitive spirit. I think he makes plays, just lack talent. It's something with the coaching. I was always throwing it out there. Then he go to Tennessee, get around some coaching, get a little defense, and now you see the real Ryan Tannehill. You know, it's evident that, you know, players need the right systems. They need the right coaches. You know, and sometimes we land in unfortunate situations. Like in 2002 for me, they introduced the West Coast system. They brought in Jim Moore and the West Coast system. But I want a West Coast system quarterback. I needed a style of play that was similar to a spread offense, or, you know, what my coach had done, you know, previously. You know, open it up. You know, it's not just, you know, 7-step drop, 5-step drop with timing. I was in the wrong system. I was able to overcome it, but it was just too difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, so now I look at quarterbacks. Now it's important where they place. It's important who's coaching them, and how they develop day to day depends on, you know, play calling and so many other variables that, you know, teams got to be real, real meticulous when they pick a guy. You know, if not, you know, I mean, and that onus is on the general manager. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It's going to continue to happen. The guys won't end up in the right place. But, you know, hopefully Tannehill can be, you know, a story where people can just, not because you don't get a lot of time in the league, you know that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if a guy can get a second opportunity somewhere else, he might can show something different. So, you know, placement is everything in terms of a guy's success.
Michael Vick joining us here on J. Mart and Ramon this morning. Mike, of all the younger quarterbacks in the league, and we certainly want to talk about Lamar a lot since he's on the docket for the Titans on Sunday, which of the younger guys do you watch right now and see the most of yourself in?
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
That guy is dynamic. You know, I hate saying this, but I say it because it's truth behind it. That Kyler's going to shatter a lot of records, man.
Yeah.
For one, he's hard to see. By the time he gets to the linebacker level, you know, that's when you finally got a visual of where he's going. By that time, it's too late for linebackers. Defensive linemen won't get to him. He's going to create a lot of, you know, different coverages so that he can have success in the passing game, and then when he pull it down and run it, you know, it looked like he running on Madden. Like this dude, like, he's going to run the ball more effectively, I think, than myself, than Lamar, than Russell, than anybody who, you know, ran the ball, you know, as a quarterback. You know, I just think the system he's in with Kingsbury is wide open. They do a lot. He got weapons. And so I enjoy watching him, and I just think he's going to continue to develop and get better and better. I talked to him over the summer and just asked him about his development, and he was like, look, the game is getting easier. And when you got a young quarterback and they say the game is getting easier, wow, you got to trust that because it's true.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be that way.
That's scary, man.
It's scary for the rest of the league.
Yes,
that's true.
It's scary, man.
Yes,
scary.
It is. So Vic, you mentioned something about, like, you know, the young guys you watch in the league. You say you end up talking to Kyler in a sense, and I'm sure as far as just anybody coming to the league, I really do enjoy watching almost every team quarterback now, from Tua to Josh Allen to Tannehill's a running, to Lamar's obviously a running, to Russell, to Deshaun. I mean, how many of those guys actually do reach out, man? Because, like I said, when you were doing it, it wasn't cool. It was still a little bit of a knock. It was exciting for me as a young guy, as a fan, but, like, I was still a knock. So to see the game evolve to this, where you it's the fifth element almost in a sense to the way offenses and teams are now.
Yeah, those guys always reach out. Deshaun, Kyler, Lamar, you know, Patrick, man, they all find a way to stay in touch somehow, some way, you know, kind of keep it quiet during the season. But
right,
man, when we speak, man, it's just, you could just see the appreciation. You know, it's almost like when guys, probably in basketball, see Allen Iverson. It's like, man, you made it so that we can play our game and be ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have to worry about that little struggle, you know, that we may have had to live in. And I had to live in that struggle, worrying about, you know, having my position changed and, you know, my style of play not being accepted, you know, when I was, you know, going to college. So now they can play college football freely. They can dream while they're young. They can dream while they're in high school. And then when they get to college, they don't have to worry about getting, you know, unless they're not good enough, you know, playing a different position, because there's only one person that can play the position. So you got to be good enough, first and foremost. But they can dream. They can dream that dream, and they don't have to worry about being judged. And that's just a credit to the league, you know, credit to the pioneers and the guys who came before us and through my time, you know, to set it up for the next generation.
Yeah, and the other side of it, though, is, you know, speaking of those transgressions and just, of course, I'm on the side of the media world. You are, too, right now. And that's what we all do in this room right now is, hey, we kind of judge and we critique and we kind of talk about guys' situation. One of the things that's been a hot topic this year is, you know, Lamar's production, the Ravens' offensive production. You're a guy that went through that, I'm sure. But where is he at as far as, you know, it seemed like defenses are starting to figure him out. Is that just the way the league goes, or how do you view it?
Just when you have success, I've been a part of teams where you're just not going to deviate too much or get away from what you had success with the first year.
Right.
You know, and last year he had a breakout year, broke all types of records, and if I'm coming back, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it with a little twist. It's just that lining up in those same formations, you know, you can only do so much out of run formations. You can only do so much out of those same looks. So now all the team got to do, if they're not afraid of the weapons around you or the receivers or the tight end, they feel like they can cover that, then they're gonna press you up. They're going to press you up, and they're going to make it hard for you. And, you know, Lamar's running the ball way more than he did last year. It's probably taking a toll on him a little bit because it's a physical game. Mm-hmm. He's running the ball way more than I ever ran it in my career. This early, he probably got 60 or 70 more attempts than me.
Wow.
And I just know how brutal that can be and how much of a toll it can take on your body. So, you know, along with, you know, teams recognizing, because they professionals too, and they study them all offseason, they're going to do things to make him switch up his whole game. Mm-hmm. They're not going to allow you to rush for 100 yards on them every week. So, you know, it's like beat us in the passing game. Show us that you can beat us for four quarters in the passing game, and that's what it has to evolve to with him. You know, days that he can't run, it's days that he can pass it efficiently. And we've seen him do it before. We know he can do it.
Yeah.
It's just, once again, the coaches got to match up with the talent.
Lamar in particular, of all the guys that are out right now, Mike, you see a lot of pushback. You see people that almost want him to fail, that are out there that are just like, he can't throw, and they want that narrative to still be true. Like, they don't want to give it up and admit, okay, you know, he's a little better. Maybe he's not a precision passer, but he's certainly an average passer.
Right.
You, long before Lamar and this new crop of guys that we've been talking about, you were kind of one of the pioneers of that kind of style. Did you ever feel pushback from an old guard that you almost felt like wanted to see you just knock you down a few pegs just to prove that what they always remember football being is what football should have been?
Yeah, you know, I felt like because my style was different, and I'm just being candid, and because I was so good at it, you know, I could pass it when I wanted, and I ran it. You know, as well as I passed it, people wanted to pick at my game. When I was in Atlanta, it was like they was always picking at me. They was always picking at something. But, you know, I just, you know, started to realize that was kind of the nature of the business, all the scrutiny and, you know, on the downside comes with being a quarterback is what you got to deal with. You know, you get the praise when you win, and when you don't, you know, you get the blame. So I seen that, but I felt like they was nitpicking. You know, I'm like, look, offense is offense. You know, how it's created, and because I wasn't traditional, I felt like they you know, tried to, you know, just tear me apart for, right. for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, what I take away from that and what I'm most proud of is that I continued to play that way. Mm-hmm. I continued to play that way, but I committed to becoming a better passer. And by the time I got to Andy, I got the credit for becoming a better passer. Andy made me a better passer. Then I could just run when I wanted to. I was able to not run for first downs just because I knew I can get it. I ran off my instincts, you know. So it was pass first, run second, and, you know, that was the coolest part of my game. So I do credit the media for helping me and pushing me to become better. And when I look back at it, I'm like, damn, they just made me a better quarterback by the time I got to Andy. He really wanted me after having a guy like Donovan.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, Donovan passed the football as well as anybody. You know, never got scrutinized. That's because he was pass first, run second. Yeah, so that little transformation was real. You know, it was stemmed by, you know, pressure from the media and all types of, you know, crazy talk. But, you know, I use it as motivation to get better. And, you know, it helped revolutionize the position. For years.
We got Mike Vick with us, man. He's a friend of the show, friend of me, friend of ours, man. A great quarterback in this league. And we're talking about the young quarterbacks around the league. And I just got to ask you, and you say you mentioned marrying the right coach or coordinator with the right quarterback. Now, I'm thinking of two scenarios right now. We got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, match made in heaven. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know Andy, you know Pat and everything. And then in New York, man, we can go there. We got Sam Darnold with Adam Gase, man. And I don't know Gase personally. And, you know, and I'm sure you've studied him a little bit more because he's the quarterback guy. He's the whisperer.
Put some thought into it.
Yeah. you know, there's also been people who say, you know, man, I'm telling you, Sam Darnold's a really good quarterback. It's just his situation. You know, how do you pair that, man, in almost a Tannehill type of sense, man? Are you able to get back? Are you able to get the old Sam Darnold back? And, you know, how amazing is it to see Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, too?
That's a great question, Mon. And I'll start by answering that question by saying I guarantee you this. If you gave Andy Sam Darnold, Sam Darnold would be successful, without a doubt.
Wow.
Because if you look at Andy Reid's past, his history, there was a lot of times Donovan was hurt in Philly. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I was hurt. Kevin Cobb went in and had success. You know, Vince Young went in and had success.
Wow.
When Donovan got hurt, it was Corey Detmer went in and had success. Yeah. Ty Detmer. Look, even Matt Moore this last year, you know, Patrick goes down.
So did
success. All success with backup quarterbacks, guys with, you know, equal or, you know, somewhat better talent than Sam Darnold. So I would say that, and that to answer your question, that's how I know that coaching makes players. And then you get Andy with exceptional talent like Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, Patrick is a Hall of Famer after 3 years, you know, going into his fourth season. You give Andy, you know, Donovan's a Hall of Famer, you know, for all those years. I got Andy for a couple years. He changed my career. You know, when he gets a guy that's solid, you know, Andy always told me, if I had you when you was young, we'd have multiple rings. I believed it. I know it, you know, especially when I was in my prime. I watched Sam Darnold. You know, I look at his situation like a Ryan Tannehill situation. I wouldn't want to give up on him. You know, you got a quarterback. You got to, you know, give him another 2 years in a new system with a new coach and see what happens, man. But coaches make players, and that's the it's going to always be that way. So I just feel like in New York, he don't have great players around him. He don't have talent around him, and it just don't give you any confidence. So, man, I as much as I would like to say give up on Sam, man, when I can make that correlation, like if you put him around a guy like Andy Reid, or, you know, you put him with a guy like Sean Payton, he looks totally different, you know. So, you know, you got to stick with these young guys when you draft them.
Greg Roman is the guy that's helping Lamar Jackson right now in Baltimore. And obviously he has experience with Kaepernick. He worked with Andrew Luck as well at Stanford. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much work Andrew Luck actually needed done around him, but Kaepernick certainly
he worked with Tyrod too.
He worked with Tyrod as well. What do you think of Greg Roman when you're watching the Ravens this year and just the way in which are they maximizing Lamar Jackson, or are they limiting him to some extent because they're worried about his passing ability? I heard you say earlier, you know, I became a better passer. I committed myself to being a better passer. And I heard that. I'm like, how do you become a better passer once you get to the NFL?
It just takes time. It takes involvement. It takes patience from the media. It takes patience from the fan base. It takes patience from the player and the coach, I think, because you got something so good right now. You know, you got a guy who can run the football and can pretty much go out there and win a game with his legs. Mm-hmm. And then you sprinkle in a little pass. Like I said earlier, I just wouldn't go away from that. I mean, I would, but some coaches just don't. They're going to try to keep that going and just going to try to add new wrinkles and little motion here, a little shift there, you know, something to, you know, make it look different, but it's all the same in the end. And, you know, eventually smart players on the defense side of the ball, they pick up on it. But in time, they just have to not reinvent the wheel, but just they got to reinvent the offense, and make things easier. And I like Greg Roman. I like his offense. But he got to evolve. He got to evolve with his talent. And Lamar's an exceptional talent. And sometimes that takes just doing things that you know he's not comfortable with. You don't have a lot of time to practice it, but put him in the game and see if he can be a professional.
Yeah.
And see if he can handle it. That's what the NFL is all about. You know, we professionals at the ultimate level, you know, throw the book at the guy. That's what I would do. You know, I would throw so much at him that, you know, it might cost us a couple games, but we're going to win some too, and he's going to learn in the process, and what it'll do it is set us up for the future.
And, Vic, you know, we talked a lot of football too, and on our show, man, we like to have a whole lot of fun, so I'm going to be real with you, man. Yeah. You know me, okay? Like,
I
like to laugh and have a good time. All right, and one of the things that I told the guys, I was like, man, you guys don't believe it. Like, when Michael Vick walked into the locker room, like, guys were just like, man, that's Michael Vick. I just got to, like, okay, I know what happened in our locker room, but across your workplace with Fox Sports, whenever you go anywhere, how many people bring up to you a Michael Vick jersey to sign or your shoes?
Man, everywhere. I just heard a Mayo Acho the other day on his show that, man, I still got my Mike Vicks, so haven't got him signed yet. So, you know, I mean, guys still got stuff stashed away that they need to get signed, man, but it's still everywhere. It still exists, man. The legacy is still continuing on. And it's, you know, because I was able to go places like Pittsburgh and, you know, be recognizable for a year and you know, be in Philadelphia and be in Atlanta, man, like, it's, you know, the tradition is continued to be carried on, man. And I appreciate it. You know, I felt like I worked hard for it. And, you know, couldn't have did it without the help of everybody that I played with, man, including yourself. So, yeah, it's just good moments, good opportunities. And, yeah, it was real weird walking into that locker room, man, because I came in super late. Y'all was already like, halfway through the preseason, man. But the best thing that could have happened was me being your locker mate, because that you made the transition easy for me. We laughed every day, bro. We ate good on Saturdays before the game when we traveled, man. We had a good time, bro. For 4 months, man, and including the playoffs. And, you know, it was just an amazing experience to be around Le'Veon and Tony. The only person who probably, you know, won't starstruck was Ben. Yeah. You know, Ben had his own little legacy down over in the corner. So I was more infatuated being around Ben than anybody else, man. And it was real cool.
That's dope, man. And the guys are laughing because I told them a little bit. I was like, man, when you walked into the locker room, you attracted guys to you, man. And it just made everybody around a better person and better teammate.
But Ben was a player hater.
Nah, he wasn't a player hater. You got two Hall of Famers in my mind that's around. Like, hey, it's only
just like you said. It's like, hey, all right.
Hey, Mo. Hey, Mo. I tell everybody, if you watch any show that I'm ever on, if you hear anybody talking about, yo, what was the best time that you had? Like, best city you was in or best time you had in the locker room. I always tell people Pittsburgh. They'd be like, but you was there for 1 year. I said, that was the coolest, swaggiest locker room I ever been in. You know, ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, through all my years. And I love my dudes in Philadelphia, but, you know, that vibe was just different. It was, you know, it was that tough, hardcore, hard-nosed football environment where it won't nothing glamorous about it, man. It was just work. That shit was cool.
And it was just, and at the end of the day, though, it was football, and afterwards it was like having fun also, man. That was the whole thing about it.
A lot of laughs. That's what I can remember from that year, just a lot of laughs from from you to Ben to James. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
James, the young boys was funny. Tay and you know, Tay was funny. AB was different, but he was cool as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, Antonio just worked so hard. You rarely even seen him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even see him in the locker room before a second of it. And then he outside on the jug machine, getting in, doing something different. But, you know, we just had good character guys, man, and it was just super evident.
Yeah.
I had this one thing that I wanted to ask you, which is we're talking to you in 2020, Mike, and a lot of time has passed in your life, and you've had peaks and valleys, and I'm a firm believer that you learn more in the valleys than you do on the peaks about yourself. So how would 2020 Michael Vick feel about 2004 Michael Vick? Would you guys be friends?
You know what? We probably would be friends because deep down, you know, I would know this person, you know, but, you know, obviously being 24, you know, in 2004, I would make a lot of suggestions. And, you know, I would love to just have that conversation if I could, because, you know, I think the 24-year-old Michael Vick would have took it real well, you know, especially somebody who went through their career and, you know, is on the other side now, you know, probably on the broadcasting side.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to say, look, man, life after football is just as important as, you know, life during football, and you know, take care of what you got, you know, appreciate what you got, and put in a lot of work. I probably would have told myself to just work out more, work harder, you know, work smarter.
Yeah.
And, you know, just longevity is what you want. You know, I think I got burnt out early, you know, mentally in Atlanta, and I kind of needed a break. You know, I had the wrong break, but I got a break, you know.
Yeah.
Then that rejuvenated me and revitalized me a little bit, and then I was able to come back and have a little more energy, man. So, you know, but that was all because of what I was doing in my life and the way I was living my life, and it was very difficult. So I would just try to advise him on changing a lot, and I think, you know, if it's coming from a credible person, I didn't have a mentor then. I had no football mentor when I had guys like Cunningham, you know, reaching out continuously and trying to, you know, spend time with me. Warren Moon, you know, always reached out. Donovan was always there, you know, even though we had a little rivalry, you know, it was a little awkward, but he was always put in my corner. So I just wish I would have followed those guys a little bit more and just listened a lot more when I was younger. But I would definitely school that 24-year-old Mike Vick for sure.
So before we go, like I said, you know, we'd like to have a good. I know this answer already, okay? Vick, it's cold outside. You're in L.A., but it's still a little breezy, a little cool out there, right?
It's a little breezy out
okay?
here, man.
You from VA, get a little cold. You played in Philly, definitely cold there, and in Pittsburgh. Vick, when you walk out the house or out the locker room, you lotioning up or nah?
I'm lotioning up, dog. Because I get scaly, bro. Like I for real, I be real reptilish. My wife told me a couple months ago she thought I was going to dry up. You know what I mean? You know, that Cali weather, man, it's a little different, man. You know, it's different chill.
Definitely.
So, you know, you think you moisturize, but you really not.
Yeah.
You know, it's straight up, man. I used to straight up put that lotion on before we hit that field, bro.
You know.
No one will be teasing me.
You know another thing that I was impressed by? I think even while you played, you had a bottle of chapstick on you too.
I was about to say that.
You—that
was my tradition, dog. But I couldn't be calling the cadets the line of scrimmage with white lips, bro. That's the last thing I was doing. And look, especially when the Instagram started to hit, you know,
Sean
all that, man, you go viral quick. So I just wanted to make sure I was already all good.
That's crazy. You said Instagram pressed you, man. It didn't even have to, and it did.
Know, man, all the memes and all that, man, that had me. Yeah, man, I won't try to get put on blast, even though it can happen to anybody, man.
See, I'm getting shamed.
Gotta avoid it at all costs.
See, I'm getting shamed into doing this lotion thing, but I keep telling Ramon, I'm like, but it's different, man. I'm like, the white moisturization, me being white. If you were white, Mike Vick, how would you feel about lotion?
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. Look.
You bought into what he needed you to do.
Now, look, if you white, you ashy and it's showing up, like, bro, you got a problem. Oh, for real. You got, like, for real, some type of, like, infection or something. I ain't going to say skin disease because that sounds harsh, but, like, yeah. No, I ain't worried. I ain't worried. I'm good.
See, I'm good. Vic, he took you right where he wanted you to take
That's right,
you, man.
Right down the lane.
Vic, I brought this man a bottle of lotion this morning, just so you know. Okay?
You did? Okay. Yeah. Get him right, Mark.
That's a walk-off. I set him up for the walk-up against Minnesota right there, the walk-off.
He did, man. Yeah, Vic, man, yeah, we'll appreciate you. And hope that you're able to come back to us, man. Love hearing you, love what you're doing, man. And just love, like I bragged on you before the interview. I was like, man, if you ever meet him and have a sit down with him, you're going to love him because everything, like, let me stop before I go too far. But you've always been a solid dude from day one, man, from a young, undrafted offensive lineman, man, when you walked into the locker room to everybody you met. I never saw you say no to nobody, man. And I know that can be a little bit of a gift and a curse, but I'm glad of where you are. Shout out to you for continuing your career, and I'm sure Joel will like hearing this conversation too.
No doubt. Yeah, Joel hit me up last night too, man. So yeah, I get back in touch with him. But yeah, man, it's great to be on, man. I come on anytime, man. We can talk football, playoffs, basketball, whatever y'all want to do, man. Hit me up.
Perfect, man.
Let's have a third co-host on this show.
Yeah, we're going to have a third co-host, Vic. Look, you're going to boot me up out of here, man. You lending yourself like that. Well, thanks, bro, man. Hope the wife and family and everybody's doing good, man. And you just had a new young one, too, right?
Yeah, man. I got my son just turned 3 the other day, man.
Congrats.
So, yeah. He's keeping me young. He was a breath of fresh air in my life, man. And, you know, hopefully he'll be suiting up in, you know, 20, 35 or something.
He might have to play my kid, man. That's all I'm saying. Miles is coming for him, man. He's going to keep him in check either way.
No doubt. Yes, sir. I love the competition. He will, too.
All right, for sure, man. Well, appreciate your time again, Mike.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'll wrap with you.
All right, baby.
All right.